You're now listening to Sound Talent Media. Check out more shows at soundtalentmedia.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Episode number 20. We're back, and I'm here with the one and only Danny Diablo, a.k.a.
What's up? That's me, everyone. Shout out to my boy Jay Reason,
man,
doing
what's
it
up,
big time.
Dude, yo, so I was looking, you know, I always feel bad because I always say we take these, like, long breaks, but it's because both of us get pretty busy here, so I apologize for the length in between, but shout out to Brian Fair for doing the last episode. It was fucking crushed.
Brian's such a good guy, man. Listen to his music, bro.
Yeah, no, and the episode was tight, so we apologize about for the delay between episodes, but he's been busy, I've been busy, but we're back. We're going to try to get more consistent, so let's just jump right into everything E. So since the last episode, the big thing that you did, which was fucking awesome, I'm going to encourage everybody to check it out. I'm going to have a picture over here, was you did an episode of No Jumper, a big podcast for those who don't know, big YouTube thing. Shout out Adam22. Tell us about that experience, man. The interview was fucking awesome, dude. What's it been
like? First and foremost, thank you for the mic. This microphone right here is sponsored by Jay Reason.
Yeah, sponsored by Static Era Records.
Eric Records in the house. Check this out. The first thing I took a trip to the West Coast. I went to Vegas and Los Angeles. I played a Hood Fest out there. A shout out to fucking Hood Core Fest. A shout out to fucking Junior and the DMS Brothers.
Shout out.
And all the bands that played. You know, the Count Time. I got Count Time shit right here. So it was a beautiful punk rock, Mexican, Chicano fucking punk rock festival, and it was, everyone was good, no fights, everything was amazing. My shout out to my Storm came with me, my girl came with me, and we had a great fucking time. But I went out there with my Storm and my manager, the DRP, and I basically went out there to Vegas and to do the show and also to be on No Jumper. Shout out to Adam22,
shout out,
who's a hardcore guy. He's one of the biggest podcast guys in the world, next to Joe Rogan, probably. Like No Jumper.
I would say, like, and especially like in his culture, he turned on a lot of rappers who went on to be very, very big.
Yeah, yeah. He put them on, and also he showed the world all these trap rappers and rapper dudes who I am, and he showed me so much fucking love and so much respect. And I have to say, dude is a fucking gentleman. The dude is a real motherfucker. I got Adam22's back. I don't give a fuck.
That's cool. No, me too, man. I know.
Shout out to Adam22. Thank you so much. You made me feel fucking, just made me feel fucking like relevant. And fucking, he's the first thing he said to me, I've been a fan of yours since I was 12 years old. He was so happy.
That's cool. Yeah,
it made me feel good. And he knew everything. And my girl was there. We met his family. We met everyone at the place. He gave me so much props and love. And you know what? Not that many people in our industry that are like that. So
yeah, it's true. It's a lot
I love you, brother. I love that motherfucker.
Yeah, a lot of people move on and kind of forget to show and recognize people. So that is sick. The other thing too, man, and not only because it's going to sound like we're jumping a bunch of places, but only because it's been a gap in between episodes. But so after No Jumper, you also been fucking killing it with Crown of Thorns shows, and you've got a whole bunch coming up, which I'll show those across the screen.
Yeah,
how have those been going? Are you excited to fucking?
Well, let's talk about what happened. A 3 weeks ago, I fucking slipped in my. I did a James Brown Claude Van Damme split in my bathroom because it was just a freak accident. I had my dog. It was wet floor, and I did a split, and I fucking popped my knee. My left knee popped, but my right. Everyone thought I did the crate challenge and fell. Fuck everyone. The Hoyer is telling niggas I did the crate challenge. Hoyer. Shout out to Hoyer.
Shout out.
I love you, motherfucker.
Shout out, Smoking Word Podcast.
I'm going to say Hoyer's brother, David. David, rest in peace. Big Dave, I love you, and I miss you, brother. And I was going to say, Hoyer is holding it down.
Yeah.
And fucking looks fucking amazing. Man, niggas are jealous, and Hoyer now is coming back and taking all your bitches.
Yeah, shout out, man. It's good to see him.
I tore my fucking hamstring.
I can't believe that.
No, you can't. Listen, I took a picture. Everyone thought it was my calf. It was my back of my fucking hamstring. It was purple. Oof. I tore it. And at the second day at home, I was walking around. I should have been off it for 3 weeks. I went to Texas and DJed. I was DJing for 2 days. We had a chef there. Shout out to everyone in Texas came down. Shout out to all the Mexican, all the Mexican fucking punk rocker graffiti writers.
Shout out.
Motherfuckers came out and we partied, did a whole bunch of cocaine. Yo, those guys rule. That's it. Viva la raza!
I fucking love it, man.
I sold out DJing out there, had a great time, came back and I was like, yo, I think I should have stayed home because I could not walk. And I was like, so my girl made me stay home for 2 fucking weeks off my legs. Then I had to do 2 Crown Thorn shows. And I was like, oh my God, I couldn't believe it. I killed it. You know,
and you're doing those with the original, with the all the original.
Yeah, so Demi and Mike DeJohn, and we got Paul Delaney playing bass.
Sick. That's awesome,
you
man.
From Kill Your Idols, Black Anvil, Black Metal. But it was straight Queens and niggas on stage. And Richmond was so fucking cool. We killed it. Shout out to Ian for booking that show. Then we did next day in Charlotte, North Carolina. And it was fucking amazing.
That's dope. Know?
And tomorrow we're doing Syracuse, where Crown Thorns used to kill it too. So
yeah, you got you've got quite a few shows coming up, man. You got a lot of shit.
I'm going to tell you what I got. I got Syracuse, then I go the 5th to Milwaukee to finish the Scarhead Generators of Violence record. Then I go the fucking 14th. I'm doing Thug Court Thursdays, Arrogant Swine. And I have Tony Slippers, the DRP, King Relich, Chubbs, Lord Jewish, Bub Styles, a whole bunch of other people. I'm hosting it, me and Paulie the bartender. Then the 15th, the whole weekend, I play Amityville, Long Island, with Crown Thorns, sold out. Then the next day, Boston and Crown Thorns. Then I DJ at the party. Danny Dabble DJing. And I play with Crown Thorns and DJ. Then I got Philly on Sunday.
It was
at the church.
Amityville? Is that where I saw you play last time? Where we thought you had COVID?
I was dying.
So this is like the return.
The return of the COVID. Return of the COVID. Listen. My girl was, that wasn't COVID, you were just sick. I was like, yo, listen, because I caught COVID fucking 7 months after that, and with her, and with, that shit was nothing compared to the first thing. Now, whatever I caught the first time, that was like pre-COVID, whatever that shit was, that shit would smack the shit out of COVID. That shit was, I thought I was going to die on stage. Everyone's like, you sounded great. I was like,
no,
I
you
was
did.
Dying.
That was the first thing I said to you, man.
I couldn't tie my pants.
Yeah, you were shocked. I remember I saw you. You know what? You played it. You fucking crushed it. That was the whole thing.
Shout out to Killing Time.
Yeah. So that's sick. So those shows were awesome. We'll have all the dates for the upcoming shows coming up.
Sure.
So, E, the other thing, big in your world.
October 23rd. Hold on. October 23rd. Scarhead plays the Broken Land Festival with Dropout Kings, Chucky Chuck, Ouija Mac, a whole bunch of like big like metal, trap metal bands, Concrete Dreams playing. And it's going to be at the Monarch in Brooklyn. It's like 900 fucking tickets sold.
That's
it's going to
awesome.
Be an all-day festival. And I'm doing the after party, Arrogant Swine. I come out Danny Diablo.
I'm tired
Diablo,
already hearing it.
West Nile and Blizz from Juice. Only 3 acts, and I kill it that night. I'm going to have strippers on stage. It's going to be ill, nigga.
I wish I could stay up late like that every night, because sometimes I want to go to your stuff, and it's like 11 p.m. start, and I'm like, oh, God, I'm fucking shot and old.
Yo, listen, all you have to do is rent. You and your girl get a nice hotel in Brooklyn and have
a couple
lines,
and
night.
We're good. Yeah.
Yeah, a couple lines are good.
Yeah, we're good.
Close the blinds.
The other thing, the other thing that's popping in your world right now too, man, is I just seen the pre-orders went up for Big Left, which we have talked about a little bit. Tell us a little bit about what's going on with that.
Big Left, I talked to Big Left last year. I'm like, nigga, what are you doing, bro? And I said, yeah, dude, music. He was like, he was really disgusted for the Coca deal. But yeah, he only put him on a few songs, and they really like fucking dropped the ball with Big Left. And he's a Big Left. You don't know, is a retired Marine. He's a retired DMS guy.
He was your
guy.
First signing to back in the day when you first started
Records.
Il Rock.
Yeah, yep. Like, first signing.
When you were living in
me and Josta,
and me. I hope, and I was in the same.
Yes, place. All yeah. three of us. Big yeah. Left.
So you were living
I
in New
I
Haven.
Signed him again.
remember, you were living in New Haven at the time.
Oh, remember the downstairs, the yeah. what was the thing? Wait. Well, Western Union.
Yeah.
Yeah. Remember that picked up the Western Union girl. Yeah. Listen.
So anyway, Big Left.
Oh, I'm gonna tell that story. That's worked out. Yo. So listen. So fucking
I always wondered why she was mean to me after the lady downstairs.
Oh, it was great.
So what
is
they're doing? So he's got a new record on Force 5, right? Is that what it is? And there's a
pre-order?
Yeah.
Hold on a second. Where the fuck did I do with the? Yeah. So I'm gonna get to the whole thing right now. So, Big Left has a yesterday he dropped a pre-order, right?
Okay, yep. And I'll have that over.
The name of the record is called Slaughter of the Innocents.
Okay.
Slaughter of the Innocents on Force 5 Records. If you want a CD, go to forcefirerecords.com and get a CD with bundle. I think there's an Ice Pick CD in there.
That's what I saw, yeah.
CD. Yeah, so I got shout out to fucking Johnson sending me all my Ice Pick CDs.
Sick. So yeah, so we'll have a link for that. So, that's awesome, man.
Yeah.
I'll have the link over there.
He sold for a little small label and for himself. He doesn't really know how to do social media.
Well, and listen,
we had 100 pre-sales. We had 100 pre-sales.
Yo, and in this day and age, man, it's like everything is delivered to the same shit, right? So it's not like a store. They're not stores really no more.
No,
so it's like,
no store.
So
no,
really
no.
All you depend on is like, you know, and I can speak as like, you know, someone who comes to say on distribution, and it's like, are you delivering it correctly? Is the fucking shit all spelled right?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Everybody does the same shit, you know? So yo, that's sick. So I want to just plug a couple things that I got going on over here.
Yes, please do.
We just released, it's all a little Static Era, little block here. So we just released the new video from Rolling Coffin, which you guys know is Tim Williams from Vision of Disorder.
Shout out my man Tim.
Yeah, we're gonna get Tim on here. He's dying to talk
hopeless
to
romantic, that guy. Hopeless
yeah,
romantic.
He's dying to talk to you, and we're gonna have a good time with him. So I want to give a shout out to everybody who's been watching the video. You'll see it over here. If you haven't checked out the single, check it out now. We got a new one dropping in I think November right now. It's the follow-up to this. I'm really excited to that. Yo, the other thing that comes out, well, it's tomorrow, October 1st, but so it'll be out by the time you see this, is I got two new releases at E, and I'm really excited to tell everybody about these. So
tell them right now.
I'm going to tell them. So the first one, dude, I'm going to put this out here on the universe first. So it's a band called Purity from Las Vegas. And I was telling you about these guys. I'm going to have to link up with Donnie and Concrete Dreams because, yo, this is like all a pairing made for you know,
they need to be on the road together. Let's get them on the road.
Yeah, we got to do it because these guys are what's up, man. I'm going to have a little thing playing over, but it's definitely, you know, for fans of Slipknot all the way. The dude's got a fucking white pony tattoo on his face. That's literally all you need to know and what you see.
Whoa.
The shit is heavy as fuck. Dude, you'd love it. It's like new metal with fucking hardcore break. I mean, it's insane, and they look like Cold Chamber or something. It's crazy. So we got a limited edition Digipack. That's available for sale now at staticerarecords.com, and then that's streaming everywhere that you can listen to music. Now, the other one, the other one I'm really excited to tell you about and everybody else about, and you'll remember this band, Cornerstone, from back in the day, Connecticut band.
Yeah, what happened to them?
So ready for this? Dude, this is a really interesting story. So, yo, we found the original tapes from – the record was originally released on Lost and Found called Beating the Masses. It's a Connecticut
from
classic.
Connecticut?
They're from Connecticut, a classic record, right? So with the help of your friend and my friend Zeus, the one and only.
Wait, hold on. Shout out to Zeus.
Yo, we took the original master tapes of this shit and Zeus did a complete remix and remaster. The thing sounds fucking amazing.
Dope.
That comes out tomorrow as well, 10-1. So everybody stream Cornerstone Beating the Masses. and Purity Reanimous. You'll see images for those. So I just want to shout out again everybody who's been supporting the label and visiting the store, because it's been what's up, man. I so many people come in and say, you know, that they watch
Go to the store, Saturday X.
Yeah, yo, they say, hey, man, I watch the podcast and shit. So shout out again to everybody who watches us and then comes and talks about it. I get a fucking big trip out of that. E. So do we have a whack attack?
Before the whack attack, I got
okay, you got something else.
I got something else. No, I'm going to tell you.
Because we got to get to our guest. All right.
Check it out. This is a book.
That's right.
It's called The Street Gangs of the Lower East Side by Jose Cochise.
Right? With the cover up? Let me see.
Acclaimed Passion.
Sick.
They did a book. This is a book. Cochise and Clayton did this book. It's about the Lower East Side gangs, everything. So I just got this. They signed it for me. I went to go see Clayton Patterson the other day. He documents everything in the Lower East Side since the late 70s.
That's it.
He's doing a book about New York City tattoo subculture. And they asked me to be in there about DMS. So I basically, I went down there. I went down there and did a whole interview for 2 hours. They interviewed me for the book. Took pictures, had some of the brothers in it, but they interviewed me and I felt fucking honored and respected that we would do it as a
That's awesome, man.
A reformed gang member. A reformed gang member. And now I got, you know, I'm not gonna play like a politician. Like that was never like that.
Yeah, now we could buy you out as a cameo. Don't forget.
Listen. But I did the thing. Also, I'm going to be in another book. So that book's coming out. It's with Cochise and another book with Clayton Patterson for the New York City tattoo culture, right? And I'm in it. Another book by Freddie Alba's doing. It's called Queens Graffiti Legends. And I did a piece.
Awesome.
I had to go do a black book piece. I haven't done a black book piece. I've been doing canvases and killing that shit. You know?
Yep.
As a living, I've been doing that now. But I had to go back to my old school, like high school black book I did for a graffiti writer who influenced me for Queens. And that graffiti writer is Ha Ha Ha. He is Jimmy 131 from Woodside, Risk Crew, or Mike 79. But there used to be a tag called Ha Ha Ha. And that's what influenced me as a kid. I did a big Ha 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 blockbuster for a thing. I also put everyone in the neighborhood. I put everyone in the neighborhood from Woodside up onto my and the thing. So I always talk about Jackson Heights, but I lived on the borderline of Jackson Heights and Woodside. So my address was really Woodside.
That's
sick. So don't tell no one because I'm still Jackson Heights, but still. So but I'm really Woodside and Woodhaven.
Also,
I do have a whack attack.
So I was going to say, you know, everyone looks forward to this. So once again, Whack Attack brought to you by StaticEraRecords.com, Milford, Connecticut Static retail Era store.
And this is how it goes.
Let me hear who it is. Who do we got?
All right. So the past few few months, there's been a video of a guy getting beat down, a rapist, who just got out of jail, getting beat down.
Okay.
And he allegedly got beat down on the Lower East Side by someone that looks like me. So the video, it's funny because the video has someone put the Cure behind it.
Oh, wait, I saw, okay, I'm not, you know that I saw this, okay.
So basically the dude's name is Lito, not Big Lito, my brother, sick, but Lito from the Lower East Side, L-E-E-T-O. So he's a graffiti writer who did time for rape. He raped someone very close to me's girlfriend.
Fuck.
So somehow some misunderstanding happened, and some guy that looked like me beat the shit out of him, and so this happened. Now, if that happened, right? If you did something like that, wouldn't you, like, because people make mistakes, but if you rape someone, you're a piece of shit.
Yeah, I mean, I would never.
No one. These guys that grab girls, hit on girls. I know guys that put dick pics and things. That's all right. People are crazy. You know, people, whatever. But if you rape a woman, you're a piece of shit, and you deserve to get fucking your head smashed in and fucking kicked in the face and beat down. And if you do something like that and you do your time, then go somewhere else. You don't hang out in the neighborhood
and drink
and think it's all cool.
You
change your life around. So sometimes someone that looks like me beat this guy up. So they got it. So it's all over the internet now. It's on my Twitter and everything. So the bitch ass nigga's name is Leto, graffiti writer. L-E-E-T-O.
All right, we'll
he's
have
a
to
rapist.
Put, we're gonna have to...
He's rapist. And he, and this go to the tape. This is how he looks like rolling around
I'm,
the floor.
I'm going to put it here. Okay. Awesome.
So that's what I have to say. Shout out to Scam Dust.
So shout out to Scam Dust.
Love
shout
you,
out.
Nigga.
Whack Attack. I know you guys love
Whack
it. We've been making sure that you get it. So E, we got a... I always say this. Oh, we got
yo,
a good guest, but we do. That's what's up with
Diablo. Everyone talks shit about DMS, man. I'm saying, but all these niggas that talk all shit about when niggas hit women or fucking or rapists, DMS takes care of fucking trash. That's what I'm saying. Peace. I love you.
So we got a great guest. One of
these right there.
Yeah. shout out to the Marielitos under the bridge, man. It was fun. Well, you know, I got some stories I could tell you about after that can't go on here. I'll put that one. We got a great guest who I've respected, man, just as much as you when I started going to shows and learning things. So I'm really excited. I just sent the link for him to join. And this guest is actually one of your really great close friends, too.
Yeah,
so you already know
it's... He doesn't do podcasts whatsoever.
So you already know it's going to be funny.
Oh, I'm going in on this.
I already know that. So I'm going to try my best to not laugh as much. I just sent him the link, right. So he should be along in a minute. Without further ado, Freddie Madwall, please welcome to the fucking podcast.
Thanks so much, Dave.
Yeah, man. No, thank you for making time to do the show. We are doing this in this crazy background jungle thing that we thought would be interesting.
We're in the jungle we belong.
Where we belong, man. So I want to give a big thank you, Freddie, for doing this. I know you just got off the road. Dude, you were just doing a bunch of shows.
No
tell us about those.
Tell me about the shows, brother.
Yeah, man. We were on the West Coast, and we had some shows that we had to make up. We had postponed some shows because of some, you know, personal things that went on in the family. You know, we lost, you know, Hoya lost his brother, and we had a lot of things going on. So we had to postponed some Cali shows we had, and then we got invited to play Punk Rock Bowling.
Sick.
So we kind of just sandwiched them all together, and we couldn't get up north this time around because we didn't get a chance to rebook the up north show, but we're going to get up to like SF or Sacto area soon. You know, we'll get back up there. But the rest of the shows were basically makeup shows, and then the one Punk Rock Bowling show with H2O, which...
How was that? You know,
yeah, so the videos look sick. How
good,
was that?
Man. Tell you the truth, when they told me I was going to be going on at 1 o'clock, I was like, 1 in the morning? That's... you know? I'm like, damn, Toby, you did me dirty, man. He's like, oh,
yeah, he did
show
you dirty.
Again.
I think,
and
yo,
next
Toby.
You know, I gotta go on. Next thing you know, I got to go on at 1. But turns out, I guess those shows, you know, they kind of run late there. And the crowd stayed and, you know, ended up being good. So,
yeah, I think in
I can't complain, man. It was a good show.
In Vegas, it's like there's no sense of fucking going to bed or anything anyway. So it's like you're just out partying and doing shit. Wild shit, man. Yeah, I saw the videos, dude. It looks so sick. And I was going to say, man, shout out to you guys hitting up Connecticut on those the first shows back. The fucking, it was such a great time, man. I also got to also thank you for taking out the Cruel Hand guys, which we got to release their record earlier. This year,
cool
man.
Deal.
Those shows were great, Freddie. What was that like going back into those shows, man? The energy was so awesome, man.
I mean, it was, yeah, all those shows were cool. I mean, Connecticut, you know, is a hardcore state, you know, so like I was happy that they were opened up for business. And basically we were just hitting up any place that would have us, you know. It wasn't even, you know, it was like, but I was happy that we were able to do like Connecticut and Rhode Island and of course New York. It was great to play again, man. It was so long.
Hell yeah,
you
man.
Know?
No, I was
yo,
so
Kay.
Excited. Yeah.
Too long.
Freddie.
You know?
Yo, Freddie, do you remember Connecticut?
Oh, yeah.
Remember the pizzeria window, Connecticut?
Yeah, I remember. Oh, I remember that one real well. Damn,
man. Yeah, man. I mean,
that's an old one.
Yeah, like I said, I mean, Freddie, I remember going to see you guys. I think the first time ever, dude. My shout out to my older brother John. He took me to see you guys at the what was it called? The Sports Palace back in the day
oh,
that Josta
cool.
booked, man. And that shit was fucking
oh,
awesome,
yeah.
man. That was like one of the first times I got to see you, man. I was obviously a fan since. So excited to have you on the podcast, man. I know that Danny's going to want to ask you a bunch of other stuff, but I want to just jump in quick to the music side of thing, man. A lot of our listeners are obviously hardcore bass, man, so they know you from that. I'm just going to ask, man, straight up, you have a favorite Madball record? Because to me, dude, you guys have so many, like, you know, hits or whatever you want to call them. Is there one, Freddie, that you like playing the most or that you feel like, you know, you're not sick of it yet?
I always like our newer stuff.
Yeah.
You know, like,
for real?
That's our, you know, it's like, I feel like we're still evolving in a way, you know, so it's like, out of the newer records, I like the For the Cause one.
Yeah.
I feel like it's a very complete record for us. If I had to say overall, I would probably pick Hold It Down.
Sick.
You know, out of our whole, you know, records that we've done. I mean, they all, you know, they all hold a place, you know, in our hearts. But
they all have hits. They all have like three hits on them.
I appreciate that.
Yeah, they always.
There's hardcore.
They do hits. Every single one.
No, yeah.
As hits.
Yeah, Madball always comes with the hits, man. Like I said, it's always so much fun. I've mentioned it a couple times, and we were fucking blessed to do Europe with you guys, and I just remember watching you guys every night, and just it was like hit after hit. You know, especially as a fan, you're just like, fuck, it's so good. But I'm glad you brought up For the Cause because, yo, that record, it does feel, like you said, a very complete record. And, like, as a fan, too, it's cool that you guys are always evolving and pushing yourselves not only just with, like, the music, but also, like, the production and involving, like, you know, stuff like working with, like, you know, Tim on a record. Like, what's that like for you, Freddie? Especially because, like, you know, most of the time in hardcore stuff, a lot of shit's more, you know, self-produced, for lack of a better word. What was that like for you, man, working with somebody like, you know, Guy from Rancid? That's, like, a big deal, you know?
Yeah, I mean, like you said, we're very hands-on. Like, we're one of those people that are very hands-on. I guess we've been doing this long enough to where, like, you know, we kind of know what we're supposed to sound like and what we're supposed to be putting out.
I mean, you guys invented the sound for lack. I mean, you know, not to fuck. It's the truth. You know what I'm saying? A lot of that rhythm is Madball, like, that you hear throughout a lot of stuff nowadays, you know?
I mean, you know, we, at the very least, we know what we should sound like.
Right.
So, yeah. Like, a lot of times we're hands-on, you know, production-wise even, you know? With our own stuff, but we wanted to try out his studio, Tim's studio, and maybe let someone else chime in, you know, for once. And
always good to do that, bro.
Yeah, it is good to do that.
Yeah, I liked how good it was. Cool, man, because again, like, from watching you guys, especially live, man, it's like there's always been this component of, like, these super sing-along things live, and I love how on that record it's really captured in the choruses, and, like, the production is really, like, you almost felt like you know it right off the rip to where to sing along, which I love on that For the Cause record, man.
Thanks, man. Yeah, no, I mean, you know what Tim was great about? It's like he kind of really didn't meddle with us too much. Like he let us do our thing.
Yeah, but he just helped you out on certain things, like he showed you what you, like he like highlighted shit for you guys to do.
Yeah,
right?
He'll just be like, yeah, that's, you know, he was just kind of like, you know, we bounced ideas off of him. And he would kind of be like, yeah, oh, that's a good tempo, this, that, you know, little things like that. So it wasn't like he was, you know, a lot of the songs when we came into the studio were already there, you know, like, yeah, structured. And, like, you know, I was still writing a little bit of lyrics, but, like, most of it was, like, there structure-wise. But the vibe was very, like, inviting and very, like, welcoming. And, you know, the all the guys we worked with, it was a smooth operation and very comfortable environment, so that kind of lends itself to, like,
something better than the old school times when shit was crazy and you had a deadline and shit.
Exactly.
Like that.
Exactly.
You know what I love about you guys, that you guys fucking, no matter what, you always put out a record that stands the time.
Totally.
You know, that's time, like, no matter what. And to me, the best thing that I love is, like, I love, like, when I hear your shit, I'm like, oh, I want to hear this shit. And I'm like, I can't wait to hear this shit so I can fucking say something. And every single time, you niggas fucking, I'm like, oh, man, I can't say shit. These niggas got me again.
Thank you.
The last time I told Hoyer, I said, Liz, I said, Hoyer, if you niggas want to blow up, you got to get rid of Mitz. And you guys did it. So I'm glad you niggas did that.
Oh, you're fine. You're foul.
Nigga. So basically,
you wait for us to fuck up so you can talk shit.
Yo, he's right now crying? Is that word crying?
Yeah. Damn.
He's crazy.
I love you, Mitch. I just,
we all love Mitch. Yo, can we
talk about
that? I take that as a compliment.
I want to actually ask really quick too, Freddie. One of my favorite things to ask is like on our show is like, how did you? I got to know how you and E became friends and met. I know how him and Hoya became friends, but how did you guys become friends in the first interaction?
I took him to my castle.
I got to give credit to Toby, really. Toby was the one that was friends with both of us.
Shout out Toby.
I was just starting to be, you know, I was linking up with Toby.
How
Toby
old were you?
Toby was friends with E, and he was like, "Yo, you guys got to meet each other because you guys would hit it off because you know whatever, you know, same kind of vibe, like you know, hardcore kids, but we like hip hop and this and
play." And it was the craziest thing in history to ever happen.
Yeah,
it sparked a thing that people will probably hate us for the rest of our lives. But yeah. It sparked the best shit in the world.
There you go. You know?
No, I'll tell you right now, when I met Freddie, he had a hood on, and he was eating pizza. He looked mad at the world. I was like, this little guy, this little nigga's mad at the world eating pizza. And I was like, yo, we started talking. Remember that? I took him to Queens. I took him to Hoya's house. Remember that?
Yeah. He's the one. I got to give E credit for introducing me to Hoya.
Oh,
I gotta
no
give
doubt.
Toby, I got to give Toby credit for introducing me to E. We linked up. And he was right. We did hit it off. And then Hoya brought me to Queens, to Corona. Yeah. And that's where I met Hoya.
MQ.
And MQ. And then, Narc.
Bundy.
And then we all hit it off. You know, it was all like, it was all kind of meant to be. Like,
that's sick.
It was very organic. You know, it wasn't like we were trying hard to be friends. It was just like, boom,
no,
we connected, you
know?
Yeah, like,
I mean, and even from like an outsider, you know, again, as just a fan of music, dude, it was always cool it always came across like that. Like, you know, you'd see Madball, Crown of Thorn, like all your guys' bands playing together, and it always felt organic. It never felt like it felt, you know, like I said, it always felt like these guys were helping their friends, and it was very cool, man.
The funny thing about that, Jay, was that in Europe, when we would go together in Europe, and the European people would ask me questions, and they would think that we just know each other from playing music. I was like, nigga, the reason why we fight, they're like, we'll fight each other in the face, like, fuck you, nigga. They're like, what are you fighting for? But this is how we are every day. We fuck the music. We were friends before music. We were boys. Right?
We hung out for years before we were really touring, because if you think about it, I met these guys in like 91, 92. Madball really didn't become active touring till like 94.
Yeah.
You know, 93, we did some stuff. I shouldn't say
95,
you know,
90, we're on the road.
93, we did a couple things. We did the AF thing in Europe. Yeah. We did like South America. 93 was when Hoya joined the band in 93. So we got a little busier then. But really, not that much. But 94, obviously, we dropped Set It Off. Boom, boom, boom. We started to get super active. But yeah, I would say 93, 94, we got more active.
Yeah.
92, we might have done, you know, we did drop Many Suckers, but we didn't really do that many shows, you know.
And we went on tour together, 95, in Europe.
In 95, Crown of Thorns came with us to Europe. Yep, exactly.
Then we did the States when you got signed to Epitaph. We did the crazy, with Hatebreed and
98.
I remember that tour.
That's infamous. That one's an infamous tour right there. Yeah. But he's right, and it's a good point that he brings up. Is like, we were chilling hard in the streets and like in the parks and you know, in each other's houses and whatever else.
Yeah.
We were homeboys, you know, way before, you know, things really started moving. It was, you know, that's why it's organic, is because it is. It's not like, you know, we met each other through our bands.
Yeah.
We met each other through mutual
friends, like that. It was street shit. And the thing is, like, when people talk about us, they're like, no, we're like, when I, if I argue with Hoya and Freddie, in public or themselves, it's two brothers are mad at each other for some yeah. stupid shit. But that's how we
I would
are.
Not we'll want to be something. Anywhere near that argument, man. Just,
yeah.
just
no. But people watch us. People yeah, watch us, has, and they think they understand. They think that we're music guys. No, we're yeah. brothers, bro. We're yeah, brothers, yeah. And brothers fight all the fucking time. You know what I mean?
Hell yeah.
And right
yeah.
now, I don't want to fight Hoya. Hoya. Yo, you me, I'm not going to fight that nigga now. You see his arms? That nigga's arms are jacked. I'm not fighting with Hoya now.
Okay.
I'm not fighting yeah, that nigga. Yeah. Yo, his arms as big as his head now. So I'm not fucking
yeah,
with that nigga.
He's looking good, right? Isn't he
looking good? Yo, yeah, he man, looks like Don out. Morocco.
He looks great, man.
Don
yeah.
Morocco.
Don Morocco. Yeah. Yo, it's crazy, though. Yeah.
Yo, how does it feel turning around and looking at Hoya jacked up?
Yeah, no, he's looking good, man. He's on point.
Yeah, man.
Made me want to start doing some more, eat my weed and start doing some more push-ups, son.
No, Nick, I'm going to do steroids. I'm not getting
you got to take a shortcut. Fuck it.
Yes, yeah, so, let's go back to the music thing for a second, Freddie. So, like, again, man, just yep. going into, like, your history, dude, obviously, you know, Madball, dude, fucking, you know, like, along with Agnostic Front, just, dude, synonymous with the sound and the culture and everything, man. So, you know, as a fan, dude, just, you know, thank you for all that stuff. And same to E for all the shit you guys do is, like, the coolest thing, man. So, Freddie, you got started super young, man. Like, what was the first time I recorded at Don Fury's? And I know that you guys recorded there, too, man. Like, what was that like for you? If you could remember that, obviously, I know it's a long time ago. But do you remember kind of that first time they were, like, putting you in there and like, to do the whole thing?
Yeah, it was basically Ball of Destruction was done at Don Fury's. I was what, 12? You know,
that's
88,
crazy, man.
Oh my god.
I was like what, 12, 13? I think I was 12 when I did it, and then eventually when it dropped I was like 13 or something.
That's
but
so crazy, man.
It was like 88, 89-ish, you know. 88 we might have recorded 88, came out 89, but that was my first time. Actually, I might have been to Don Fury's before that with my brother and AF and them, but that was my first time recording there. Actually, no, I had been to Don Fury's before that because Vinny lived down the block from Don Fury's.
Oh, okay, yeah, that's
I remember
right.
going in there as a kid
yeah.
and going down into the basement yep. and like checking out the studio.
Yeah, because when we recorded there, he had your guys' 7-inch and like the AF, remember, he had that door kind of going into where the drums were at, and I remember looking at that. You know, at your guys' 7-inch and just, you know, again, dude, as a fan of music and getting to know everybody over years, I was just, it was just crazy, man, to know how young you were being in there, you know, dude, like, because we were
yeah,
doing
so
our
fucking
radio
nuts,
school.
Bro.
Yeah, it was a trip. I mean, I you know, obviously, you're just kind of doing it at that time, but, you know, when you look back on it, I'm like, oh, that's cool, man. Yeah. I was happy I was able, because that's like a kind of, if you're, you know, from our scene, that's kind of like a legendary spot,
dude,
you know?
For sure.
So I was happy that I was able to do something in there. And actually, we did drop a mini suck. I mean, yeah, dropping many suckers in there. E was outside hanging out.
Oh,
I
no
remember.
Yeah. I'm on the cover.
Oh, yeah, no shit, that's right.
Yeah, he's on the cover. Hoya's on the cover. Mark's on the cover. And Steve Huey.
Yeah, like in the back.
With the cars. The,
yep.
And the funny part about it is, Hoya wasn't technically in Madball.
No, he wasn't.
Oh, no shit.
So it was kind of like foreseeing the future, you know? It was like, you know, he ended up being in the band. And E almost was in Madball at one point.
Yeah, he's told the story, man. On that.
I told Hoya owes me everything in his life.
His life.
Play music.
it was talked about, you know? It was talked about. It was mentioned. And because I wanted to keep it family, man, because yeah. it was like, I was with my family already, like
right.
Will Shepler, Maddie. Those were my homies, you know, like those were my, you know, they're older than me. And, you know, E and Hoy are older than me too. But like, you know, they're like even older.
Yep.
And, but those were my friends, you know, those were my people. I met them through, you know, through the family.
Yep.
And I mean, shit, I know Will since I'm like 10 years old.
That's
you know?
Wild, man. Yeah.
And Maddie for a long time as well. So it was like, these were fans, you know, and Vinny goes without saying, forget Vinny. I mean,
yeah.
you know, that's the name of
my brother. Yo, remember his house? Yeah. Remember he used to use his house for the clubhouse?
Oh my God. Yeah. That Vinny was the clubhouse, man. That was our clubhouse, you know, forever. That was awesome, man.
Yo, I'm stuck. Look at my
yeah,
my
you
hand
are
in
stuck.
My face.
Like holding your face. Or
that's
something.
All right.
What the hell was that? It's just, I don't know what happened, bro.
They cut our Skype cut our, but there you go. I was going to say, Skype cut our sponsorship, but.
It looked like I was doing a bump or something. It was
yeah.
fucked up.
Yo, maybe you were, and that's
it's fucked up.
Yeah, it looked like it, right? one of them hand ones. One of them hand.
Yeah, like a quick on the camera or whatever.
Boston Mike ones.
Yeah, damn. BM. Yo, you know the ones. The BM.
Boston Mike rest in peace. OZ156 2 Imps rest in peace.
Yeah, rest in peace, man. I miss those guys.
Yeah. So Freddie,
yeah, no, there was a lot of historic that, you know, like we did the Ball Destruction super young, and then later on, you know, a few years later, I ended up doing Drop Many Suckers at Don Fury's.
That's crazy. Yeah, I forgot that was recorded there as well.
Yeah. And like I said, you know, the guys, by that time, we were all hanging out a little more, you know, like we had met kind of recent, but we were stuck, you know, we were all friends. It was pretty much instant friends, you know?
That's cool.
And then, like,
Then we lived together. We lived together in the squad.
Oh, my God. I got to know. Tell me about that.
We would sleep over each other's
I'll tell you something right now.
I would sleep at Narcs. Narcs would sleep at the squad. E would sleep over. You know,
do you remember when I fucked up Matty Boy? He tried to hit me with a ragu. Then he could try to hit me with a ragu.
Oh, man. You guys are terrible talking about that. And who came in? I came in. I was like, yo, what are you guys doing?
Yo, I'll choke him to death. I was like, just let me kill him. Remember, I choked him? He's like, stop, you can't
horrible.
Kill him. I'm like,
horrible.
Yo, he tried to hit me. Yo, hold on a second. Yo, I was fighting this guy. All I saw was a yellow cat with said ragu at my head. He tried to hit me with a ragu fucking sauce bottle. That would have hit me in my head. My neck, and we got sliced, right?
That would have been bad.
That would have been bad. So I punched him, picked him up, and I choked him out. And Freddie's like, you can't kill him in OZ. I was like, fuck, get away, I'm killing this nigga. I choked him to death, and I let him go.
We had to stop that one, because it's like family fighting, you know? It's like, what's going on here? This shit's weird.
Ragu, that's almost, I saw
yeah,
the
I can picture, just, I know what you're saying, like, it's just coming right
you
know, at you.
And never in my life, someone try to hit me with fucking a full
with a jar, with a, that could have been the end of you. Imagine that would have been the end of you.
I cut my neck, I would have died right there. No more Ezek.
Death by ragu.
Killed by ragu.
Oh, my God. That would have been horrible.
The big ragu. Carmine, the big ragu.
The world would have been shorted on so many great stories had that happened.
Oh, that was very grateful. If you really saw that, Freddie was like, what the fuck are you doing? But we were laughing also. Yeah, I was like, I'm killing this nigga.
There was a moment of like I kind of had a laugh, but then I was like, "This shit ain't funny." Come
yeah,
because
you're like, because Freddie, you knew that you're like this. This is like one hair away from going very
stupid,
very
always
bad.
Like that. Always, first of all, it was always like that once a week in our lives.
Yeah, something,
something like that. Like funny shit.
Mostly, it was other people. Generally, it was like outside people, not our own.
Yo, I love it, man. I want to talk about keep talking about the music, Freddie. Sorry, because a lot of our listeners
love you,
are obviously.
Boy, by the way.
Yo, Libertad. Libertad. Libertad.
Shout out to Marielitos. Yo, so hey, Freddie, so let me ask you a little bit too. So, like you had said, you know, obviously you start Madball very young. And you do these, you know, the 7 inches and stuff, which in our scene is, you know, like that's kind of like the norm. Like, tell me about the band becoming more of like a real band and going to Roadrunners. Cause I mean, dude, again, back then that was like hard to get a record deal. These were real record deals, not like, you know, some real shit. Roadrunner is, you know, and they're still a fucking ginormous thing. And the legacy too, that those two records have kind of left imprinted across just the world, you know, because of the back of the day, the distribution and kind of, you know, that machine that doesn't really exist at all anymore.
Just think about this. They were metal bands. All metal bands, the only hardcore bands.
And they were the only hardcore. Yeah. So, Freddie, tell us a little bit about that, man.
Tell us a little bit about that,
like becoming more of a serious band and then kind of getting to do that record. What was that like for you, man?
I mean, Roadrunner definitely played a part in that, you know, like, because we did Dropping Many Suckers on Wreckage.
Right.
And it was like, again, we were like, hey, let's do this thing. Yeah, because, you know, I had already done one. And AF was about to AF was pretty much going to be done, and so the guys in AF wanted to do something, and naturally it was like, yeah, let's do Madball, let's drop another 7-inch. My brother had some lyrics, but you know, Maddie had some riffs. We were all like, you know, hey, let's pull it together. But even then, we weren't thinking, you know, this is Dropping Many Suckers. Even still, we weren't thinking like serious about it. We were just like, let's drop a 7-inch, you know, and kind of refresh people's memory. Let's see what happens, you know? And then after that 7-inch, we started playing like sporadic shows or whatever. And then we went to Europe with AF. And that sort of started sparking a little something in Europe. And then we got offered South America. And
by then,
remember that? We went to
Argentina. I remember that.
That was Hoya's first trip with us.
Yeah.
And then that kind of sparked something in South America. So then it was like, okay, there's something cooking here. But really what really put it over the top was Howie Abrams recognized that we were a band again.
Yeah.
And saw us playing somewhere and was like, yo, I'm at Roadrunner now. You know, why don't you come over here and let's talk about it. You know, and we were like, Roadrunner? Like, isn't that like that metal?
Yeah, because back then they had like, it was like, real metal.
Yo.
I was like, word? Okay.
Tepetora, they had fucking Bile.
King Diamond was on there. Yeah. Carnivore. Yeah.
Typo Negative.
Yeah, and Roadrunner Roadrunner, Howie has history with us because Howie's the one that made Ball of Destruction happen.
Oh, In Effect, no right? He worked for In Effect also?
Huh?
He worked for In Effect Records too, right?
Exactly.
Road Symphony, right there. Right?
That's exactly right.
Shout out to Howie Abrams, my fellow Jew. I love you, Howie.
Yeah, Howie, I got to give Howie a
Queens,
lot of credit.
Baby.
Howie's a good dude, man. And I got to give him a ton of credit because he was at In Effect. When, you know, AF was there, they were going to drop Killing Time. They were gonna
when I worked there. I worked there.
Yeah, you were
I worked
there,
for right? Relativity Records. I remember seeing Craig Tatari all the time, coming down and everything. I mean, I worked with Anthony Cominelli together.
Yeah, a lot
Petey
of people.
Hines.
Yeah, that was like, you know, that gave jobs to a lot of hardcore dudes. And it actually, a lot of good records popped off from there.
You know,
like that In Effect off, you know, whatever you call it, an offshoot of Relativity.
Yeah.
Because it was like, In Effect became like the hardcore.
24/7 you know, Spies.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, remember, and they had that live VHS that had the AF.
Yeah, we were out there, man.
Yeah. And Howie played a big role. Howie played a big role in that because he was the hardcore dude at that label.
Murphy's Law was on it.
Yep. So fast forward to Roadrunner, and there's Howie again. But now he's at Roadrunner. And so he's like, hey, you guys are going to start doing stuff again. You know, I see that you're starting to, you know, move around. I like it. Let's come talk to us. And I mean, from one minute to the next, it was like they wanted to sign us, you know, it was like boom, like that. And then that really gave us the more of a, you know, incentive to like, okay, now they you know, we're on a serious label. Now we got to do some serious tours. And that's kind of like the springboard to get, you know, how we became more serious, you know.
And Freddie, like, was that? I gotta imagine too, man. Just because the machine that was Roadrunner at that day, and like, you know, just the size of stores and just district, you know, what it was.
Yeah.
Like, dude, how was that like instant for you guys when you went on tour? You noticed it right away, like the.
I wouldn't say it was instant, you know, but it definitely gave us a big push.
It helped you guys out, clear your lane.
Yeah. In our lane, exactly. Because it's not like we popped off on a Main Street tip or nothing like that.
No, for
we
sure.
We still were struggling. I mean, we were still a hardcore band at the end of the day, so we still had a lot of things going against us.
Right,
you know?
But it was more.
But you know what?
You could find your record, though, like if in all of a sudden it's like. You could find in the middle of like.
Distribution was out there.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. The distribution definitely helped get the word out. And I would say where we got the biggest push was in Europe. Because they were a European based, you got to remember, their headquarters was Europe. So that was like, they had the office in New York and whatever, but they were a European label, really.
Yeah.
And I mean, you know, Europe overall for heavy music, you know.
Way better, dude.
Yeah. So we got a real push in Europe. And like, I mean, you know, I went out there and did tours for press. And like weird shit that I never ever did, you know, in the States even, you know. So it was like bugged out. Yeah, it definitely helped.
But you know what? Can I tell you something about Madball? And we always make jokes with each other with the bands. We're always like us against them, Scarhead, Team Madball. But Madball showed the best work ethic from a hardcore band I've ever seen. Because hardcore bands, people look at hardcore bands as kids and people like hoodlums, whatever, and metal right. bands.
Especially
as
guys us.
Who really about their business. But Madball was always on their business, and he learned that from his brother Roger, because Roger's always on his
Shout
business.
Out Roger for
so,
sure.
Freddie and Roger are both smart people, man, and they have great brains for the band and business. They know how it works. It's a well-oiled machine, Madball. So yeah, they do their shit, and they're real musicians. A lot of people, they don't understand that. A lot of these metal bands, too, don't understand that a lot of these metal bands, especially on the label, they're all Roadrunner. Like, when we see these metal bands, they look at us and say, hey, what's up? Hey, we know we love metal. But a lot of those metal bands love our music. Like Machine Head, I was listening to a podcast the other day, Machine Head, he was talking about his album. He goes, what was your influence? He goes, at that time, it was 95, and I was listening to Madball and Crown of Thorns.
Oh,
yeah. Said, I was like, oh, shit, because I was like, I love robbing Machine Head riffs, but they robbed my shit. So yeah. It's on now, nigga. Down to Machine Head. Thank you, guys. But they love Madball, they love Crown of Thorns. We influence everyone, bro.
I have always said this.
Thanks, by the way, for the work ethic. And you know what? I wasn't.
It is. I'm saying they know it too.
That way, but he's right. My brother really did instill that, not just in me, in people like Maddie and Will. You know, like
yes.
he as crazy as he can be about other shit. He's ball buster, torture people on tour.
He's evil beyond evil. But yeah. I love him.
He can be evil, and he can be, but he. He also drops a lot of gems, and like he definitely instilled that kind of good work ethic in a lot of people. And
no, he's the one. Roger's one of the best people in the world, bro.
Well, I mean, listen, and it's because of bands like AF and Madball, man. When I think of things like again, man, we were blessed to go over with you guys to Europe, and you look at things like, you know, something like say Cortex Records and their tours and stuff, and it's like that's something you look directly as like, yo, that's so New York hardcore, like influence and made, and you could see it like. And it's just cool. Like I said, man, as a fan of the music, dude, it's just one of the fucking coolest things, dude, when you can see that shit and it's happening worldwide and you're like, oh, that's because of Freddie. That's because of Roger. Like it ain't, you know, dude, like I'm a fan of pop music and this shit, but you can't relate that shit to how we do, you know, with the stuff that we've seen.
Yeah,
and
we're
again,
fans
and
of all music.
Yeah, like the Europe thing is cool. I want to talk about that a little bit too, Freddie, because again, man, we were blessed to go over there with you and watching you guys play those shows is like fucking insane, man. One of the most famous videos we talk about is you guys at Dynamo back in the day, man, playing that fucking.
Oh, that
we talk about
amazing.
That with Hoya. What was that like for you, man? Because again, you've been around for so long. You know, you're playing. You started CBs and these small clubs, watching Roger, and then the next thing is like you do this record, and you're in fucking these. Those videos are just insane, dude. What is that like, man, for you?
It was a trip. It was a trip, you know, and it was like. It was very caught us off guard because we didn't know how big it was actually going to be. You know, we had done a couple of, maybe at that point, we had done maybe a couple of small festivals or smaller festivals. I mean, anything was small compared to that. But yeah, we didn't realize how massive that festival was going to be and how much of an opportunity it was going to be to open up a lane for us with the festivals, you know?
Yeah.
And again, that was like the backing of Roadrunner was
important. Yeah, you guys.
A lot of different factors, you know. There's a lot of different factors.
The biggest factor of all is you, nigga. All these people. Well, they put money in. Hold on, let me talk. All these people put money. They help you on the tour. They promote the tour. The real factor is you created something. Yep. You guys together create something, and the whole world bit your style, the way you looked. Everyone had three letters for their crews. Everyone had colors. Everyone wanted to be dressed to look hard. Everyone looked like Latino now. All these German niggas looking bad. Fuck out of here, nigga. You know what I'm saying? And so that's because of us, nigga. It's our lives. We didn't do halftime. Our parents weren't lawyers and shit. We were fucking, that's it, bro. We are what we are.
And to your point, man, I mean, it's like, you know, to both of your points, it's like you go and watch those videos.
I'm telling you, like all these people talk shit. That's all right. I'm gonna tell a story right now.
Go ahead.
How crazy? Why is my face looking weird? So I'm gonna tell a story.
Get back in the woods.
I'm gonna tell a story of how crazy life is. I did a tour. Freddie invited Crown of Thorns for the 25th anniversary to go back. You remember that?
Yeah.
So the first recent, game,
right? You're talking about the more recent one?
Yeah, the one we just did. So I'm like, oh, I can't wait. I can't believe they invited me back. It was a weird time of our lives because we were arguing a lot. So I was like, yo, shit just goes crazy. So we go there. The bass player is, I didn't know my bass player was a dopehead. The guy, whatever happens. So I eventually, everyone, the second show, everyone's eating dinner, like 60 people. And the guy was like, I want to go home. He's all doped up. So I go, hold on, come with me. So I fucking beat this nigga so bad, and I drag him naked outside of the room. He's naked. I beat him down. I turn around. Everyone's eating dinner. Look at me. 60 German Europeans. Like, look at me. They're like, oh my God. And I was like, oh, what's up, guys? Merch girl goes, everyone's scared. And I go, why? He goes, because you beat them up. I'm like, I'm not mad at them. He goes, but why do they say they beat me up? I'm like, you niggas are pussy. I'm like, yeah, why would I beat them? First of all, there's 60 of you niggas. There's only one of me, nigga. I was like, first of all, I had nothing to do with you. This guy is a fucking robbing piece of shit. Dope head robbing shit. I had to take care of it. But they want to be down and the be New York and things. But when shit happens, niggas are fucking pussy. But I was laughing. But this is our life. And
yeah, we experienced that a lot.
If someone ever did that in my world, if you do something fucked up, those are consequences.
Yeah, right? You were cleaning up your own backyard.
I had to clean up my own backyard.
No, because I remember when I found out about it, we went and talked in the back room, and he was like, "Yo, I didn't want to embarrass you guys. Like, that was embarrassing to me that this guy was doing this shit, and I'm on tour with you, and that's disrespectful." And I was like, enough said. I was like, send his ass home. I was like,
the funniest thing that happened, I remember? I go, it wasn't even that bad. And Hoya turned around and goes, nigga. I don't know what you saw. But I saw someone catching the worst pizza. I was like, nigga, stop. It wasn't that bad. Hoya made me laugh so hard.
Oh, my God.
But, you know, for us, it was like, we're a little bit
desensitized. It's daily basis. Daily, have you done it?
We were like, oh, somebody got slapped around. You know, we're not like these people over here, like, shitting their pants, hiding in, you know, behind something, you know? But, yeah, it was, I mean, as long as, you know, it was done for, you know.
For listen, you're cool. Listen, this is how we are. We're very respectful to everyone, all of us.
Yeah.
I always get three chances, and I'm very nice. But a lot of people. Yeah, like a lot of people like say pretend they're stupid and say stuff to us. You know how they get drunk and say something like, "Why would you do that? I would never be."
Yeah, like some sideways shit.
Yeah, sideways shit's
worse.
Not only would people get chances, you know, and he was very patient like that, and even I had my moments. You know, maybe sometimes I was a little bit more like, you know, I think E sometimes was even more patient than me in certain situations.
I'm waiting on my
but,
listen, I
am. But sometimes
you were like a firecracker back in the day. When you were 19, you were kicking windows in, nigga.
Yeah.
Four bus windows in.
Except for the one in Connecticut. I did not kick that one in. But I got pinched for it, but that's all right. I took a pinch. Fuck it. That's how friends do. E froze up.
I played that in arc.
But that one I didn't break. But the thing what I was gonna say is we would also balance each other out. So not only did you get three chances, sometimes you got four, five, six chances.
Yeah, yeah.
If one of us was a little bit amped up one day, another guy would come and go, hey, chill, and we would all tell each other chill, and then at one point we would all just look at each other like, all right, that's it.
Yeah, that's
going in.
Yeah, that's it. That's it. No more chill.
Too many chill, no more chill. Yeah.
Chill out. No more chuck chilling out.
Yeah, no more chill outs.
I want to go back to something that E just said.
I just want because
it was something that you said that I want to talk about. That like E said, Freddie, was that a lot of people mimicked you and E, Zach. You know what I mean, like in that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And what I always thought was cool about Madball is like, you know, again watching say some of those videos, it's like you guys dress how you dress, you know, whatever, and these other guys got to rely on like theatrics and fucking makeup and all this shit. What I always thought was cool about Madball is like, you guys just go out there the way it is, and it's like just fucking shred people like, you know, like that. And I thought that's cool, like how he said, it's like, you know, after Madwall became a thing, it's like you saw people kind of dress like that, and that became like their uniform versus like that's just how you guys were. You know what I'm saying?
I mean, that's how you would see us dress. Like me and E be playing ball in Tompkins Square Park. We'd be wearing basketball hoodies and shorts and shit. And that, I mean, that's how we would play on stage. I mean,
that's how we went to clubs.
Yeah, so we roll up the clubs. I mean, and sometimes they'd be like, oh, no. Look at these motherfuckers coming with shorts and basketball. You know, later on, we started dressing up a little better because it was like, man, having trouble getting into these spots, you know? But which is ironic. The funny part is nowadays it's cool to dress down.
Yeah.
You know, you know, but it's like back then it was like, well, yeah, no, that's how that was us. You know, the white beaters, the guinea pigs, whatever you want to call them, the you know, the basketball, all that shit. That was just, we had like a hybrid crazy style because we were hardcore kids, but we were like hip hop kids.
I always tell people too, man, is like, so like we lived in
the West Coast in there with the Dickies, you know?
Yeah, that's the thing.
It's like, dude, we lived in Connecticut, so you'd take the train and it's like, you know, you go to like down by, you know, St. Mark's, for instance, right? So you'd buy like a pair of Dickies, which, so everything looked kind of random. You know, you'd go to, you know, like, what was that, Yellow Rat Bastard and buy something. And that, you know, so it's like it had like this very, like you said, a unique style that, like, I don't know. I always called it very like Connecticut. You know what I'm saying? It was like a kind of mishmash of all these different little things, man.
Yeah. And I think that was the 90s a lot, really, because, you know, in 80s hardcore, you saw something different, you know?
But yeah.
It was still like coming out of like punkin'.
We had better styles than the older guys.
Yeah. Exactly. 90s is when the dope style came in. Yeah.
You know when I knew how, I'm going to make Frey laugh because I never told him this. He's going to laugh at the story. He might remember this. You know how I knew Madball was getting big?
What? How's that?
When we rolled up on those punk rock niggas to beat them down on St. Mark's, they were listening to Madball?
No.
You remember that?
I remember
they were
listening to
your
music. I was like, yo, we gotta beat these niggas down.
They're
listening to your music.
Yo, that's
fucked up. Oh my god.
Oh, that's a big laugh. Oh man.
Oh my god. There's so many encounters with those fucking punk rockers over there, but I don't remember the one where they were listening to us. I feel bad. I'm sorry, guys. That wouldn't be the last time either, because how many people we had some beefs with people with our shirts on is crazy, man.
Oh, yo,
weirdest shit ever.
Yo, it's so fucked up sometimes. Like every time if I get to a fight or something, these guys make jokes. Oh, he was like trying to ask me for an autograph. So, like, oh, that guy was just trying to ask for an autograph. I'm like, come on, man, stop.
It ain't like that.
Oh man, so fuck. All right, let me catch my breath here for a second.
Crazy.
I want to ask you a question.
Go ahead.
Let me. I'm sorry, Jay. I want to, like, right now. What are you guys going to? What label are you like? What are you doing right now? Are you still going to start writing for a new one? Or what's going on with the Madball camp now?
Yeah, good question. We're still with Nuclear Blast technically. So
nice.
Oh shit! All right.
Yeah, we're with them. Like we've been with them now for a few years. Like we've been doing like kind of one-offs.
That's the best thing to do.
It's the best way to do it, man. And they have such a huge footprint, man, for like distribution, which is really at the end of the day, man, what's a band really needs. Me and E were just saying, you know.
Yeah.
Well, that's why I stuck with them because I mean they did right by us, and they got it. Like you said, they got a wide distribution. They're a massive heavy music label.
Yep.
And they've been cool with us. They're like, you know, they always invite us back. They're like, yo, we like that last record, man. Yo, we want to keep working together. I was like, all right, cool. Let's do it. Let's keep working together. And, you know, as long as they do the right thing by us and vice versa, you know, it's a good relationship. So
and I think
we're going to do another one with them. Yeah.
Sick. And like he was saying, too, it's very important, like, because the European market is so much stronger for, like, the heavy music that you guys have a good partner there. Because in the U.S., you know, dude, it's like kind. I don't want to say it's easy to roll out a record, but a band like, you know, any of you guys who have these legacy bands, it's like you could kind of be like, all right, here it is, and people know where to get it. Versus like in Europe, you still need that infrastructure to make sure the product is delivered.
You need the metalhead fan base to buy records. You don't act like dicks. They buy records.
Yeah, we're still trying to get those motherfuckers. Like. How many years, E? We've been trying to get punk rock. You know, it's funny, oh, man. We're not that we're not that different, you know.
You know, it's crazy because like with me, I'm on Force 5 Records, and they do amazing by me, but a lot of their fans are fucking almost like Juggalo dudes, and they fucking love Madball. They love fucking.
Do they?
They love Nazi. Oh, the metalheads, the punk rock metalhead dudes. They're weirdos, bro, but they buy my shit. Buy your shit. So they're die hard. They don't ask to be on the guest list. They don't ask for a. Yo, we saw friends. I'll be like, hey, what's up? And they're like, oh, let me get a shirt. I'm like, nigga, this is my life. Let me get a shirt. Yeah, right? I got no money. I just saw you do $500 worth of cocaine in the strip club. What are you talking about? $20, buy the shirt, asshole.
Unbelievable.
Right? Get me on the list. Put my girl on the list. Oh, let me get this. Oh, I go to shows. That's why Freddie's smart. Freddie goes with Hoy at the last second of the show. They go in, play, and it's clear everyone. I go into my dressing room. They're already drinking my beer and eating my food.
Hey, we had many years. We had many, many years.
Many years, yes.
Oh, my God.
Remember that? Oh, my God.
It's like, and it's true, man. It's like some people. But then you got the flip side of that. You got some of our friends who were like, yo, I bought a ticket already, you know, which.
Yeah,
you know,
I love that.
Yeah, listen, no, I don't want to shout myself out, but I did buy that's the thing, man. Like I always say, if you can, to me, it means more. Like if you're in a position where you can afford the ticket, yo, buy the ticket for your friend. You know what I'm saying, dude? It's like you're gonna be there anyways, dude. So it's like instead of spending $20 on a fucking beer, dude, buy the fucking ticket so your friend gets. I mean,
you know who buys all my releases on CD first. Mike Gallo, and I always bug out. I'm like, wait, you actually sent away for that?
I don't buy physical, but like, you know, digitally speaking, if any of my people put something out, I buy it automatically.
Yeah.
You know, whoever it is, you know?
I legally download all your shit, nigga.
Yeah.
Damn. And my shit also. I bootleg my own shit, nigga.
Yeah, you do. That I like that about Ego. That's one of my favorite Dan Diablo things is like, oh, you don't have the masters, we'll just rip it from wherever and just put it up ourselves.
Yeah, there you
shit.
Go.
I love
that.
Listen, I'm gonna tell you something. There's someone out there right now, a few people out there, at least seven people, have cars, beautiful sunroofs in the house, new decks because of us.
Oh yeah, you know, for sure.
Could be.
Right? For real.
Well, Freddie, I wanted to ask you too, just talking about kind of that whole like self-sufficient thing. You guys did your own version of Hold It Down on vinyl a little while back, which came out fucking amazing. Tell us a little bit about how that came together, because for those who don't know, that record was on Epitaph at one time. I don't think it had never been on vinyl before, had it?
No.
So this was the first time. Tell us about that process coming together, man, because again, one of the cool things for those who don't keep up on the vinyl game, you guys have always consistently dropped your own things, whether it was the split with Wisdom and Chains. Like it's very cool that you guys still, again, a band your size is doing that shit, you know, because it's like it's fucking
collectors
awesome.
Love that, kids love that.
I mean, as a collector, I buy all that
kids love it, and that's our world, really. I mean, and we don't even look at ourselves like we're like that big of a band, you know what I mean? And even if we were massive, we would still probably do it, just because vinyl kind of goes hand in hand with hardcore shit. You know, but with Hold It Down was a special case because I actually got it back from Epitaph, so which is a rarity.
Very,
you know,
rare.
I you know, made a couple calls and they were kind enough to give me the record back.
Yo, so, if you need anything back, give me a call. I'll make that shit happen.
Yeah, no doubt. Yeah,
I'll go up there. I have a whole team for that. Don't worry.
Yeah.
Call Vinny Ali.
You know how we roll.
We up in there, dude. Yeah. The WAP and Vinny Ali, I'm good.
We got a couple people. We might just charge you a small fee.
We've heard the story. Yeah, DE has told the story a couple times on his experience with with Epitaph. That is cool that they gave you the record.
I rolled up to Epitaph a few times once.
There you go.
So, Freddie,
this is our life, man. It's our livelihood. You know, these motherfuckers got a whole bunch of other things that they're making money with. These few little records that we have, that's everything for us.
Yeah,
you know?
And especially, too, for you guys to be able to release it on vinyl, like you said, whereas, like, you know, we all know from doing it that the best margins are when the bands and ourselves can keep, you know, I've said this all every episode, I think. It's like I encourage all of us to, you know, keep our rights and hold that shit. You just license that shit to a label for a couple years, dude.
Yep.
You get that shit back, and then you fucking press that self. Because, dude, all we've ever given up, and I say this to E all the time, and one of the reasons why I started a new label and got the own my store and all this shit is like, dude, I was so sick of people being like, I'll do that for you, but it's 30%. I'll do that for you, it's 50. And they don't do shit, and you get nothing at the end of the day. And then it's like, you know, do we all learn from that? And again, you know, by watching people like you and E and Roger do all this shit on their own, it's like you feel, you know, again, dude, I have a store because of the music you guys all created. And, you know, Vinny was there and we said the same thing. So it's super awesome, man, to watch you guys still, like I said,
deep in your career, still doing that shit. Yeah, even more so every day as we go on. You know, like at some point, I want to have all my records in, you know, in our camp. You know, that's my goal.
Yeah, that's funny. Listen to you guys right now. Like Jay, you put out vinyl. I should just put all my shit out on your vinyl.
Yeah, no, yeah, we should, absolutely. Man. Of course. Like, cause like,
let's do that, bro. I don't know why.
I'm down all day, man. Cause Freddie, one of the interesting things, like again, owning the store, like we get.
Yeah.
There was these reissues that they did of Demonstrate My Style and Set It Off. That it's like music on vinyl.
Those pissed me off. I gotta.
Yeah, I want to talk about those because again, it's like we talk. You know, I'm working with Tim from VOD a lot, right? So, me and Tim were talking about how like, yo, it would have been cool to do like a real version of like the Drip record with like liner notes or like the
Blood Simple
record. Like, so tell me, because like for you guys, like, again, dude, I want to front. I bought them because I'm a fan and that's the only way to get them, you know.
No, it's all good. It's all good.
Yeah, like I would love to see a real, you know, it sucks you guys can't license that yourselves or whatever and these guys do it, you know?
I mean, who knows? Maybe we're dropping the ball somewhere. I'm saying, you know, eventually I want to just own it out.
Yeah, but hell yeah. No, and
even still, if I can grab it and license it myself rather than other people do it,
Yeah, of course.
Because, dude, and that's the whole thing, and you know, like I said, it's like, you know, dude, it's like you see these people who do, because it's a quick money grab for them. They're like, I can press this 1,000. They know fans are going to pay a premium. They don't have to do no nice covers or no shit. You know what I mean? Like, but yeah, man, that would be so cool to watch you guys.
Yeah, we'll talk for sure. I mean, I, you know, it's at the same time, I haven't really approached them maybe strong enough in a way where maybe I could have achieved that anyway. But,
yeah, totally.
Somebody jumped, you know, beat me to it, you know,
well,
but it's kind of annoying.
How about this? I got some crazy shit right now. How about we do a split 7-inch Madball does 3 Starhead songs like Kings of Crime and all that, and Starhead does 3 Madball songs.
Ooh, that's hard.
That'd be cool.
Yo, and we call it Madhead or Starball.
Some shit like that. That might be real cool.
How about Vino, 3 songs each. Like, you guys do Kings of Crime, fucking the How'd You Set It Off.
That's actually a pretty good idea. Like, no,
yo, listen, I'm just telling you, as a Jew, and money, fucking that shit would sell all over. And we just have one place to get it, one on a vinyl. That's it.
Oh, hell yeah.
We'll talk about that. Let's talk about
that. People think I'm dumb. I'm smart.
No, listen. That's the one thing.
Put that in the thing.
No, okay. We're smart. Back.
Put it in right there.
No, we're back in.
Edit.
No, I mean we're back in right there now. So I won't keep you too much longer, Freddie. We're gonna just wrap this up here, but I want to talk about. We did talk a little bit about the new music and stuff. Obviously, dude, you have a ton of shows coming up, right? Is there more touring coming up?
Well, we just did those Cali ones. We're gonna redo. We had to postpone Texas also, so we're gonna redo Texas before the year's up.
Cool.
So maybe 4 or 5 shows there, and we might do like we're trying to see if we could do like the Carolinas and like that little area, that little pocket.
I just did North Carolina.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're trying to do that little area. You know, maybe like Georgia, North Carolina, South Carolina, Tennessee, maybe. So we're looking to do the those kind of pockets, and then. We'll just see where the world goes after. Beyond that, man, we're going to be writing.
It's so fucking crazy right now, Freddie.
And then maybe try to get in the studio, Freddie?
Well, definitely we're riding on and off. So at some point, we're going to have to get in there and get busy.
The next thing you guys are doing are those 3 songs. I'll pick my 3.
Yeah, there you
go. I want to do Think Back, man. I was going to show that shit.
We're going to do the mashup.
Yeah, the mashup. Yo, listen, how funny it would be. Hear my voice through Madball and hear Freddie do Starhead. That would be amazing.
Yeah. Oh, and vice versa, to hear Freddie deliver your songs would be like a crown.
Yeah,
would
that,
be just
but,
so,
yo,
so
that
would
be so fucking dope. Niggas would be like, what?
Yeah, that'd be fun.
That'd be fucking hard.
Would it be Scarhead or Crown of Thorns?
It'd be Scarhead.
Okay.
Why, you want to do feelings?
Maybe.
I think either way, man, as a fan, we're all winning if that really happens, man.
Yeah, that'd be fun.
It'd be Scarhead because the people want the hard shit. So, yeah. Well, how crazy
ignorant
would it be?
Shit, yeah.
It'd be Hoya and Freddie doing the two verses.
It'd be crazy, dude. Holy fuck.
That could be fun.
That'd be fucking hard.
That'd be fun.
I'm in, man.
Oh, yeah.
You heard it here first. So, yo, I want to Freddie, I want to thank you so much, dude, for taking the time to talk with us today, man. It's been a long time coming, dude. And again, as a fan
love you,
and a
Freddie.
Friend,
I love
dude,
you.
Love you, brother.
A fan and a friend, dude. Thank you so much, dude. It was great to ask you some of these questions and, talk about
thanks
this
for
shit,
having
man.
Me, man. It's my pleasure, you know, and anytime.
Yeah, man. I can't wait to see
he's my
him.
Bro. He's my brother, and you know.
I love you.
Shit, we know you since forever. You haven't aged. You look fucking 15 still, yo, man.
Freddie, I remember Freddie, I remember giving you a Cuban keychain at the Hanover House, dude. That's
I remember that. Yeah. We gave that.
And I was like,
oh,
you Cuban? Oh, you a good kid?
Yeah, no, that's and you know because I always remember, man. It was like I never seen no Cubans growing up. It was like just my family yelling at me in Spanish. So then when I seen Freddie and Roger, I was like, oh shit, there's like,
oh yeah,
another
man.
One, you know. And then thanks to Danny for always. Making sure I push my Cubanism the past couple of years.
Hey, there's a lot of Latinos in this shit.
There's no, there yo, there is.
No, no, we're everywhere, bro. We're like,
hell yeah.
And everything. Yeah. Metal, black, but not maybe not black metal, but metal and fucking like hip hop. We're everywhere, bro. We're big parts of it.
I love it, man. I mean, so yeah, huge shout out again to Madball. I want to just give a big thank you again to Freddie for joining us. E, thank you for putting your time in.
I love
today,
you, Dave. Freddie, I love you, and I can't wait.
Yeah, we're gonna
to
do the mashup.
See you and play shows together.
Yeah, I can't.
And we're gonna make this fucking mashup happen.
We're making it happen, man. Shout out to all the subscribers who've been watching us on YouTube and the email list, man. You guys are the fucking best. With that, it's a wrap. Episode 20. Shout out, Freddie. Shout out, Ezak. We will catch you guys next episode. Thank you so much.
The world is mine. 4-5, baby.
Hey, what's up? My name's Lurk, and I'm the host of Lamb Goat's Van Flip Podcast. Every week, I have in-depth conversations with bands from all over the scene, big and small. We also like to keep our finger on the pulse and showcase up-and-coming bands on the show as well. So come check out Lamb Goat's Van Flip Podcast.